Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, it may be the off season, but we've got so much to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew some of this stuff was coming, and over the weekend we got another piece of news, another couple pieces of news, really, since you last recorded with the guys late last week. So no shortage there, and no slowing down, and I think more and more, you know, college football is starting to look and feel like a more chaotic version of the NFL with the offseason so full of free agency and coaching changes.
And by the way, I love it. Love it. Stuff to talk about. Just to let you know what we have on tap for today. Quarter number one, we are going to devote to all the news. Quarter number two, Sean Clifford is coming back. We're going to talk about him and the rest of the quarterbacks for next year. Then it is the early signing period. Signing day is this week. So quarter three and four, we're going to preview that for you, both the offense in Q3, defense Q4. So let's get right to the news, Dusty. And the big news that you alluded to, we have a new defensive coordinator, and it's Manny Diaz, formerly the head coach at Miami. Good pick.
I like it. I mean, the impression that I have with Manny Diaz is that he is a defensive mind who's been grinding away on that side of the ball for years and years and years, all these different career stops. It does seem to me, you know, putting aside for a second the fact that he was put in a very, very unfair position by the University of Miami, where this coaching carousel, you know, he's one of those guys, it became a lot more cutthroat this season than I remember it ever being before. And he was on the receiving end of that. He strikes me as maybe a guy who was out of his element a little bit as a head coach of a program. You saw some of his defensive numbers at Miami slip a bit this year, but I don't think you can really argue with where he's been and what he's been able to do. And, you know, James Franklin's thoughts that he shares a philosophy that about playing defense that's been kind of core front and center at Penn State. So I do like it. I mean, you get a guy who, and I saw this on Penn State Twitter somewhere. I wish I could figure out who it was and credit them accordingly. But, you know, he comes in with that chip on his shoulder and having something to prove and maybe being a little bit more hungry after the way things ended at Miami. And that can't possibly be bad in a coordinator role here at Penn State.
No, it can't. And the thing that I alluded to when I saw this hire and I tweeted out was, it can't hurt your Florida-based recruiting, can it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that hurts that at all. He really seems like a likable guy, and I'm sure he's got all those connections down there, really all through the South. Looking at Mississippi State, a couple stints there as coordinator, Louisiana Tech, Middle Tennessee. You know, he's made his way around a lot of that SEC footprint, obviously settling in at Miami, which I believe he started there as coordinator in 2016 and ascended there to head coach. So, yeah, I think those Florida connections can only help. And I think having a guy who is a name now, you know, if you didn't know who Manny Diaz was, if you didn't associate him as the leader of you know, one of the most traditional college football powers at Miami, you did start to get to know him a little bit for as the guy who was treated unfairly. So you know the name one way or another. And for him to settle back into a coordinator role, good spot for him. I think, you know, James Franklin does like it. Not that it's a huge emphasis necessarily, but if you can have somebody who's the head coach of your defense, who's been a head coach at a program, you know, that experience and kind of experiencing firsthand how all the pieces fit together, not just your focus, how all the pieces fit together, can't hurt when it comes to overall leadership of your program. So, as you're looking at some of the names, I think there were some more sizzling names out there, you know, picking a coordinator, and you were looking at Anthony Poindexter as your co-DC as maybe getting a shot at the job. But I don't know. I mean, I can't think of a many better case scenarios than getting a guy like Manny Diaz, who's been everywhere and has been a head coach before.
The couple things that I see with this is, yeah, by all reports, he's a good guy. If you don't win games, I don't care if you're a good guy, right? But I do think that fits the Penn State mold. The other part to this, as we alluded to, coming from Florida to help in recruiting, but you're also right, that head coaching experience can't be a bad thing. And he, by the way, he has a winning record over the last couple of years. Probably that's a little better than what we've had here at Penn State. I know James Franklin, what is he, a game over 500? So I think that's all very helpful, that head coaching experience, for just someone for him to bounce ideas off of, stuff that only another head coach would be aware of. So I think that's really helpful in the whole process here for James Franklin. I think it's a very solid pickup for him. I like it. One of the things, though, Manny Diaz definitely in this coaching carousel has been painted as a sympathetic figure. He was left dangling at Miami while Miami was flirting with Mario Cristobal, deciding whether he would take the job or not. But just to be fair and balanced here, let's also mention Manny Diaz was the guy who spent 2 weeks as the head coach at Temple before he abandoned them, okay? So if we're going to be fair here, that's got to be on the table also, right?
100%. And he was on that cutthroat coaching carousel before it became fashionable, Jim. Then he was on the receiving end too. I mean, I'm right. Like that, you know, the ruthlessness of this has evolved and changed a lot, and you can point to whatever factors you want, but, that was just kind of on the forefront there of coaches, really, you know, looking out for their own interest above all else. And you kind of can't blame these guys. You can't blame players for going into the portal either, in my opinion. So, yeah, I mean, spending 2 weeks at Temple and then getting a better offer and taking it, that is a tough spot. And you like to think that, well, if I'm in that position, I'm doing the integrity thing. But you know what? Miami's a better job and it was offered to him. You hate the circumstances, but I can kind of see why he would kind of make that pursuit. And then, you know, I think just the parallels with Miami real quick too, is that I think Miami is still trying to figure out, you know, from an administrative perspective, what do we want to be? Who do we want to be? Do we fashion ourselves as true contenders, but we're not giving our football program the facilities and resources that it really needs to make that jump? And it seems like, you know, going to Mario Cristobal and making that move now and doing it while leaving Manny Diaz in the dark is all part of that process for them. Like they're going to double and triple down their investment in football, which is exactly what Penn State wants with James Franklin here.
And interestingly enough, there was at some point in the middle of the season, I think it was Kirk Herbstreit, really took a shot at Miami and their commitment to football. Miami, just by pure coincidence, I'm sure, afterwards, decided to take a look at their whole process. As next thing you know, new athletic director, new football coach. They're even talking about a new stadium. So, but that's Miami's story. Let's get back to Penn State. We did mention it, and we'll get into it a lot more next quarter. Sean Clifford has made the decision that he is going to come back for one more season. I remind you, Dustin, and our listeners, there was one guy who's been saying all along that's what he thought would happen. So I don't want to take any bows or anything, but I've been saying that for a long time,
Dustin. Yeah, that's not like you.
No, it's not.
It's not like any of us to pat ourselves on our backs and, you know, rub it in each other's faces whenever we're wrong about stuff. I would never do the latter. Certainly I will pat myself on the back, but I will never, you know, remind Ross that he had Saquon Barkley, you know, ranked this, or Andy Shea thought Andre Robinson would be a better running back. I wouldn't bring that stuff up because I care about those guys too much.
That is not you, Dusty. It's just not you. However, both you and I suffer from bad backs from all that patting ourselves. Anyway, let's get to some of the other news. Penn State now, like every other team, is going through the portal issues. You talk about maybe some players will be coming in. Right now, though, it's about players leaving. We had the announcements of Des Holmes, Enzo Jennings, Tyler Rudolph, and Tyler Rudolph found a new home. He'll be going to UMass.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pieces didn't quite come together for him. Redshirt sophomore this year, he played in four games. I think this season he had that targeting call where he ended up being ejected, and we didn't really see him or hear from him after that. Played in eight games combined in 2019 and 2020. You know, you look at how the safety depth chart had taken shape, and with Keaton Ellis being involved there and Jair Brown emerging, just not really a role there for Tyler Rudolph, and I'm not sure that was going to change so much. He's a kid who's from New England, former four-star from Connecticut, so I think this was pretty quick for him to turn around and make a move and get a little closer to home and be with, you know, at a program where I think he can maybe really put his stamp on it and earn a starting job and get the playing time that he wants and maybe try to push his football career forward. No issue there, and I think Penn State, you know, they're still in pretty good shape at that safety spot. They can still explore the portal. They can look at some of their 2022 guys. You obviously had Jalen Reed step up and emerge as a real young guy to watch. You bypass Tyler Rudolph and Enzo Jennings in the process, which probably plays a part in all this. So Penn State, I think, is fine at the safety spot. You hate to lose numbers, and you hate to lose a couple former four stars before they get a chance to develop for you. But look like in both of these cases, including Tyler Rudolph to UMass, that it was the right way to go, and these guys get a fresh start somewhere.
A lot of times as these guys are leaving, Dusty, you don't want to start with this processing of players and out the door. But I got to think Tyler Rudolph going to UMass, not going to Ohio State, not going to Michigan, not going to a school like that, that this is a player who probably saw the handwriting on the wall that, hey, I'm probably not competing at that level or competing at the correct level here at Penn State. Go to a UMass and feel confident, as you said, he can compete, make his mark. And that feels like it's pretty much been the case with most of the Penn State players who have transferred out.
Yeah, and I think the beauty of it this day and age is that, you know, look at Johnny Patrician, for example. You know, he looked like he was kind of coming to a dead end at Penn State, it looked like. Now he's a linebacker at Pitt. He's doing all kinds of cool stuff for a team that won an ACC title. You know, the way that college football is now, the way that the pros are, if you play and if you're good, it really doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing. So if he goes and puts together two really good seasons as a starter at UMass, you know, a lot of the goals that he might have had in terms of going pro, in terms of whatever he wants to do, could still be on the table. So not a bad move to go back and get closer to home and be at a program where you can make your mark and then see what happens from there.
Definitely. Better shot at going to the NFL as a starter at UMass than a backup at Penn State never getting on the field. One last quick thought from you. Brent Pry down at Virginia Tech hiring Tyler Bowen.
Good Penn State reunion, good fit. Tyler Bowen, I still think he's a rising star, and I really like this move for Brent Pry, even though Urban Meyer reportedly just called Tyler Bowen and all the Jacksonville Jaguars coaches losers this week.
Well, I'll tell you, the only thing, and you have it in your notes, that he's going to stick with the Jaguars to the end of the season. That may not be the best judgment on his part. I'd like to get out of there as quickly as possible. That's it for quarter number one. Stick around quarter number two. We'll talk Sean Clifford in the quarterback room.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.